So this morning we're starting to wind down in our sermon series called Words of Life. So just to bring you up to speed, for the past several weeks we've been looking at words that we find in Scripture that we use in the church, but sometimes they're words that we don't often use ourselves in regular conversation, but they're words that mean a lot and carry with them a lot of beauty and life. And so we want to understand those words better so that we can step into that life in a more beautiful, productive way for our own lives. And so today the word is discipleship. And I think it's a very fitting word to look at on a day where we're talking so much about the young people who are in our midst, who we long to raise up as followers of Jesus. That's why we do a ministry like Kids Rock. It's not a program that you can just kind of send your kids off to and they can just consume blah, 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 right? We want them to become followers of Jesus. That's why we do what we do. And so we're going to dive into that word today, and we're going to do so by going way, way, way back in Scripture. You heard from Christina, which she just read from way back in Deuteronomy. So this is going back to before the idea, a system of discipleship existed among God's people, all right? Really, this was very early on. We're going all the way back to the beginning. So I want to kind of take you there with me. I want you to picture the Israelites at the edge of the Jordan River, all right? They've been wandering in the desert for 40 years. The grown people, all the adults who are there with them, these are people who were born in the desert. They were all of them born in the desert. All they've ever known is living in tents. These are the folks, they don't even remember being slaves in Egypt. They don't know what that was like. That was their parents' generation. And now, the thing that they've been waiting for is finally about to happen. They're about to cross the river and enter into this promised land that they've heard so much about for their entire lives. And before they go into that promised land, Moses has one last moment to give them like the longest sermon they've ever heard, like the book of Deuteronomy, right? But we're just focusing on one small section. And this particular spot, Deuteronomy chapter 6, is perhaps one of the most important things that they could know before they go into the promised land. So he huddles them all together, and he says what you might expect a coach to say. He says, listen up. Here's what you need to know. Listen up. Now, when Moses says, listen up, you know he's about to say something extra important. Okay? The Hebrew there for listen up, which is actually translated here in our Bibles, but I'm not sure that's the best translation. The Hebrew word for that is the word Shema. In fact, it's so significant that a whole section of this passage is called the Shema. Listen up! This is one of the most beautiful chapters in all of the Bible. And the Shema prayer that we find in this particular section of Scripture has been faithfully prayed by Jewish families every morning and evening for the past 3,000 years. Think about that. It goes like this. Hear, O Israel, or listen up, Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. So Moses is preparing them for a whole new existence. Something completely different than anything they have known. It's completely different than anything they could have possibly imagined. They've been sheltered their entire lives. They've lived a nomadic, desert-dwelling lifestyle for an entire generation. And so their entire understanding of the universe has been what they know about each other and what they have been learning about this God who called them to be his own. But they were about to be thrust into a very different world, right? Where they'd be surrounded by other nations, other people with other ideas, other things to worship, new temptations, new things that might seem good or beautiful or trustworthy. So God wants to introduce them to this thing called discipleship, right? Like I said, it doesn't really even have a name yet. Some say that Moses was the first rabbi, And Joshua was the first Talmid, the first student, the first disciple. Moses taught Joshua how to lead and how to love and how to obey the ways of God. Then he passed the torch to Joshua, and Joshua was about to lead them into the promised land. But really, there was no formal discipleship or rabbinical teaching structure. There was just this very simple idea that we see start to take form here in Deuteronomy chapter 6. So because these are foundational verses in Scripture about the idea of discipleship, even though Moses never uses the word discipleship, these verses are critical for our understanding of what God intends for how we're supposed to function as community who pass things on to the next people, the next generations around us. And so we're going to glean a few of the principles about Christian discipleship, all right? So principle number one in Deuteronomy chapter 6 about Christian discipleship, and by the way, I'm using that specific phrase, Christian discipleship, because there's all kinds of other things we can be discipled in. We'll talk about that in a moment. And principle number one, Christian discipleship, is a better way to do life, right? In verses 2 and 3, we get these so that verses, all right? In other words, God, obey God's commands so that... He goes on to say why it's so important that we obey his commands. Verse 2, obey God's commands so that your children and their children after them may fear the Lord your God. We're going to talk about that in a little bit, why that's so important. Verse 2 again, obey God's commands so that you may enjoy long life. Verse 3, obey God's commands so that it will go well with you and that you may increase greatly. He says the same thing again in verse 18. Then in verse 24, obey God's commands so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as is the case today, Moses says. Now, through Moses, God is making his case to the people that following his ways, the ways of God, is better than following the ways of the nations around them. It's better than doing what feels right or what you want to do. Don't make the mistake of interpreting, this is so easy for us to do. We hear, do this so that you will prosper. And we can easily make that mistake, oh, I don't know, Pastor, that sounds like prosperity gospel. It's not, actually. This isn't make God happy and he'll give you stuff. Okay? That's not what Moses is saying here. No, this is the creator of the universe has given an order to that universe. Trust that order, and life will go better. It will go better. Not necessarily easier. You're not necessarily going to be wealthier. Prosperity is not necessarily having what you want. Prosperity is being satisfied with all that you'll ever need. And it's impossible to have a life of that kind of satisfaction outside of the ways of God. That's what Moses is saying. So in a few minutes, we're going to sing this beautiful song that we've done so often here called Defender. And it's just it's a simple, beautiful chorus. Hallelujah, great defender, so much better your way. Moses is making his case. The way of God is a better way to do life. All right, we're moving fast this morning because we've got so much stuff going on. Principle number two, and it stems from this idea of being satisfied in the ways of God. And it's this, discipleship is hard, but it's also simple. Love God. Love God. That's like the foundational idea of Christian discipleship. Love God. And that's at the heart of the Shema prayer. Listen up, Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Do you love my Jesus deep down in your heart? Yes, I love my Jesus deep down in my heart. It's so important, so important. This is so important that Jesus himself told the teachers of the law that this is the greatest commandment. All the other commandments are wrapped up in this one commandment. So you can't be like, I'm just going to really focus on this one commandment that Jesus calls as the greatest commandment. I'm really going to love God, but I'm not going to worry about the other commandments. So if I murder someone, it's okay, right? Because at least I got the most important commandment, right? Like, that'd be ridiculous, right? To neglect the other commandments is actually to neglect this primary commandment. Obedience is deeply wrapped up in the idea of loving God. The Hebrew word shema doesn't just mean listen or hear. It means listen and obey. Generations later, the prophets would lament the fact that people would hear, but they don't listen. In other words, they hear, but they don't obey. So, Christian discipleship is simple, yes, but it's not easy. It requires all of your heart, that is the center of your thoughts and your will. It requires all of your soul, that is your whole being, your body and your mind and your spirit. It requires all of your strength, all of your capacities, the fullness of your potential. Do you love my Jesus deep down? It's like, yes, I love my Jesus. Like, that's a lot, but it's simple. Love God with everything, with everything. All right, principle number three. Discipleship necessitates being passed down from generation to generation. Listen to these verses that come right after that Shema prayer, beginning in verse 6. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Listen to this. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hand. Bind them to your forehead. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates so that your entire family, everyone that's around is like, oh, reminder, 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 everywhere they look when they're talking. Yes, we're going to talk about that because it's so important. In case you missed it, this morning is about kids, right? Okay? But that doesn't mean that this morning is just about families. I want to be very clear about that. If you're here this morning and you don't have kids, you are not excluded from the gift and the beauty of leading people and even leading kids in a better way towards God. One of the most beautiful demonstrations of discipleship that I've seen at our church, just started years ago, like when we started our church, a married couple in our church didn't have any kids who would take young people under their wing and teach them the way of Jesus. They've literally changed the course of the lives of people whose lives they were willing to sit with and talk with about Jesus. That's a part of who we're called to be. And you don't have to have kids to do that. You don't have to be married to do that. Parents, you are the primary teacher, the primary discipler in your child's life. Are you impressing on them the ways of Jesus? Are you talking about the ways of Jesus when you sit down with them, when you drive in your car, when you put them to bed? It's all too common today for parents to think to themselves, well, I don't want to pressure my kids to believe what I believe. I want them to make their own decisions. When we do that, we are turning the discipleship of our kids over to the world. And the world does not stop discipling, even if we do. Right? You have 18 short years, probably less, to impress on them the beauty and the truth of the way of Jesus. If you don't know how to do that, we want to help. Kathleen has been leading a group for the past several weeks through the book Teach Your Children Well by our friend Sarah Cowan Johnson, and we'll do a workshop through that book with Sarah in the fall as well. But we want to help you help your kids, right? But start now talking to your kids about Jesus. Teach them to be truth seekers in this life. Show them how to read the Bible. If you don't know how to read the Bible, that's okay. Find somebody to teach you. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. And here's the reality that we can't miss. If our kids aren't being discipled in the way of Jesus, They're being discipled in some other way that isn't the way of Jesus. And that leads us to the final principle this morning. Principle number four, you will be discipled by something. Discipleship is teaching truth in the midst of lies. Okay? And here's where it gets real. Okay? Here's a tough verse from what Christina just read. Moses said this, "Do not follow other gods, the gods of the people around you." We'll look at that in a moment. "For the Lord your God, who is among you, is a jealous God, and his anger will burn against you, and he will destroy you from the face of the earth." Like, okay, I know we don't like this, right? See, pastor, like, the God of the Old Testament is vindictive and grumpy and jealous. I don't like that God. You know, I'll take the, like, nice Jesus is my homeboy God, right? That's the God that we like, right? First of all, let's clear up a couple things. One, God never changes. So same God, like before anything existed, same God in the Old Testament, same God in the New Testament, same God today. God does not change, right? That's like actual part of who he is, his character. Secondly, God should be jealous for us. We belong to him. You've heard me say it before. The entire story of the Bible can be summed up in one sentence. God lost something and he wants it back. That something, by the way, is you, right? You belong to him. He jealously wants you back with him. That's a beautiful thing, not a broken thing, right? And God does not want us to be lost in the lies of the other gods around us. Wait, pastor, what other gods? I mean, this is 2023 Boston, Massachusetts. Like, we don't have other gods and idols. Worship team, you guys can come on up. Of course we do. We do. The same idols that were living in the land of Canaan in like the 17th century BC are alive and well today, right? Idols of success, idols of wealth, idols of nationalism. It's like, right? Make the Jebusites great again, right? Same things exist today. Idols of sexuality. Idols of chasing after what feels good. These things have been around forever. Idols of false identity and individualism and moralism. These aren't new things. And Moses was warning the people, you're going to be enticed by these other gods. They're going to pepper you with lies. Good lies that seem true. And the more you believe the lies, the crazier the lies will get. And you're still going to believe them. That's the world that we live in today. You are being lied to. Right? Our kids are being lied to. Christina's about to go off to college. And there's going to be all kinds of lies around her. That's why discipleship in the way of Jesus is so important. That's why Moses stops everything with these parting words before they go into the promised land, because he knows that they are going to be enticed by the lies that they're going to encounter in the land of Canaan. They're going to seem true to them. Discipleship in the way of Jesus means teaching truth in the midst of a world that is telling lies. And we need to be careful because we believe the lies that we're being told, the same lies that we're being told in the land of Canaan. We hear those same lies today. And we are going to tell those same lies to our kids if we believe them. But the way of Jesus path to success. But it's a better way. Success is just another God, right? It's not necessarily a path to good feelings. Good feelings are just another God that we chase after. But it is a better way, the way of Jesus. Oh, but pastor, I don't like that part where Moses said that God will destroy you from the face of the land if they don't obey. Like, that doesn't sound like the kind of God who I want to follow. Well, the hard reality is that try as we may, we're never going to get the ways of God perfect. Right? So just like, take a deep breath, okay? We're not going to quite, like, we're working towards that. Maybe next week we'll do this, like, other big word, sanctification. Like, we're working, we're toward, like, God is working in us towards perfecting us in this life. But we're not going to get it perfect, okay? But there is someone who did. There is someone who did. Jesus lived in the perfect obedience to the ways of God. That's why we say we want to follow in the way of Jesus, because he got it right. You're like, how am I supposed to live this life? How am I supposed to figure all this out? Let's follow the way of Jesus, because he's the only one who ever got it right. In perfect submission to God's plan, he was obedient. And so, in this ironic twist that we find in Scripture, it was Jesus who was destroyed from the face of the land. He lived the life we should have lived. He lived the ways we should live. And then he died the death that we should have died. He was destroyed from the face of the land the way that we should have been destroyed from the face of the land. That's the amazing God that we get to follow. That's the amazing God we're privileged to love with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our strength. That's the Savior that we get to follow. That's why we have something like Kids Rock, because we believe with all of our heart that there's a way that our kids can follow that's much, much better than the way that they're going to be given by the world around them. We get to participate in that as well. We get to help them do that as well, right? And we need your help, by the way. Like, shameless pitch, but like, we need like 6 more teachers, okay? Because there's more and more kids, which is a beautiful thing. Good problem to have. We need your help. We need your help so that we can teach our children well, so that we can lead them in the way of Jesus. And we're going to just enter into a time of worship, remembering how good our God is that we get to follow. It's not easy, but it's simple. Love, love, love God with all that we have. So Heavenly Father, I pray enable us to do what we just can't do on our own. It's too hard. It's too hard. But you came along, Jesus, and you accomplished what we can't accomplish. You did what we can't. In your strength, that we would be able to come, that we would be able to move, we would be able to walk the way that you walked.